But we were talking about a time when the newspaper was the paramount source of news for many people. Because the radio was beginning to come in, we didn't have television. So do you think papers were much more eagerly looked forward to in those days?
Very much so. And the radio, you see, in the 20s, now radios were around and common, but not like they are today. The first place, they're more expensive. The second place, radios ran on batteries, and batteries were pretty expensive.
They all ran on batteries?
Yeah, there were crystal sets with earphones.
Oh, right.
And some crystal sets looked in a case much like these tape recorders, or some of them had two or three dials on them, or fairly ornate-looking things, but they were still crystal sets and working on earphones. You could have one tube set that worked on batteries, but it usually required earphones. But if you had a two, three, or four, and some of them up to five and six, I think there are a few seven and eight tubes. There's an old Atwater can somewhere in the archives.
Actually, we were just giving one, but it's a 1927 one, so it's sort of
is
a
Atwater
time
Kent?
Period. And it's an Atwater can. No, it's an RCA. The speaker is an Atwater can.
Yeah, well, there was an Atwater can given to them about a couple of years ago. But those were usually, they'd pick up a lot of things, but they cost a lot of money for batteries. Then they began sometime in the mid-20s to bring in storage batteries, which you could charge up in battery chargers. And then later, a little later on, you could buy a battery eliminator, which was a rectifier and transformer in a little case, and you could plug that into your, you could hook that to your radio, and that eliminated the batteries. And then about 1929 or 30, the batteries, their sets that plugged into the light directly and didn't have any of this other.
They didn't come around until that time. I had no idea.
I wouldn't like to say that there were none, though. I think.
Well, we could look it up.
I think it's about 29 that the all-electrics came in. Some people might turn the radio on just for the news. And people with money, of course, might be, it's kind of a status symbol to have a big radio. And some of them were in very beautiful cabinets.
Yes, that's true.
Before 1925, most of the radios were more or less rough and ready affairs, even the professional ones. They might have a nice case, but they were not quite so ornamental. But there were some pretty nice console radios that came out in the late 20s.
Oh, you see adverts of them in Home and Garden, Ladies and Journal.
They were beautiful radios and were very good, but they were also very expensive to run.
So that left the sort of the man in the street, the poor man, well, he had to go and buy the paper if he wanted it.
Yeah, so the people, you see, the paper was, and at that time, sometimes it was commented on that the radio and the newspaper might actually hurt the newspapers. Now, in British, I think in Canada, back in the 20s and even into the 30s, I believe, they couldn't mention price on the radio.
You couldn't. What was the prerogative of the newspapers?
Woodward might have perhaps ladies' sweaters. Nice wool ladies' sweaters, and they described them, and they're going to sell at $7.98. Can't say $7.98. They could describe them at a very reasonable price or a low price or so low that you won't believe the price, but
they couldn't
quote a number.
So that was part of an actual agreement.
Well, they say that the newspapers publishers had managed to get that put into the law.
Oh. When you went to work in Ontario, you began working in the print shop, from what you'd seen of print shops in the Lower Mainland, do you think that the process in Ontario in Orangeville was similar to
basically the same weekly
Burnaby
newspapers pretty well.
Basically the same.
Pretty well all over North America from what I've seen and read and the pictures I've seen. They were the only difference being is how rich the town was to support a paper. An example is Brampton, Ontario, which at that time...
Sorry, where was that? Brampton?
Yes, it's halfway between Orange and Toronto. Mm-hmm. I believe now Toronto's just about absorbed it. Or maybe it's absorbed Toronto, whichever way you want to look at it. But Brampton, the Brampton Conservator, E.V. Charters was the publisher. Charters had a very good paper, in fact. It was, I think he frequently ran 16 pages.
This was a lot for that.
Yeah, there had been two papers in Brampton in 1931. A fellow named Dick, who was said to be a very clever newspaper man, a liberal, Charters was a conservative. And Dick was said to be a typical old-time newspaper man as much as he did a lot of drinking.
So that was that a habit amongst newspaper men and printers?
Yeah.
There were hard drinkers.
Of course, a lot of people were drinking in the last century up to the time of Prohibition and after it too, but it was quite common. Well, to people who were two men would meet if they're going to talk a business deal, to see where they might be today. Well, let's go and have a coffee. Maybe have lunch, or if they're just in a hurry, well, let's have a coffee. Now, look, I'll give you so much for that lot. Now, look, how about, suppose that, yes, if you, yeah, I'll say a lot of that, but if you'll sell me such as that piece of property, you can such a place for me. They'd talk it over like that, and perhaps, and have a drink or two.
So the wheeling and dealing was done over a drink. Much more common.
One example is that in Orangeville, the town was split into two halves. Not, I don't mean politically, but just the layout. The north side was laid out with nice streets and avenues, regularly square. The south side had two streets, had three actually, with two or three little side streets from them running towards the railroad station at an angle this way. I think the railroad station did attract them to that, to make them come to the apex there. But the point is that one of the Oranges, I'm not sure whether it was Orange or Jell, owned the south end of town. And they say when you, in the 60s and 70s, somebody wants to buy a lot, they'd be on the south end. Say, how'd like to buy one of my lots? Well, I'll sell you 50 feet or 60 feet for so much. Okay. They'd walk down, let's go down there. So they'd take us, get a stake and pace it out. They didn't measure it even with a tape.
They'd
be half drunk. They'd pace it out. And, yep, how's that, 50? Yeah, I guess that's okay. Put the stake in. Here's your 75. I don't know how much they were selling for. They'll say $75 and sign a paper, and that was it. And there had been, long before my time, but I remember people talking about a big lawsuit between two families over some of the land. And it turned out the way Orange had sold it last year, this piece and this piece, and then had overlapped them.
Oh, so it's over.
And they say that they
250 foot lots, but it was really only say 75 foot there.
Yeah, well, he might have sold 275 foot lots, but actually there was only 125 feet in there.
So that wasn't too popular.
And each one claimed, well, that's why I go to there. No, no, you go to here. I go to that time. Come on. So they argued it out and took it out to court. They say it bankrupted the two families. They weren't rich, but they might have been well-to-do otherwise. I don't know anything about women as editors, but I know that in that...
Women as editors?
Yes, but mm-hmm. There were women, and the newspapers were far more men than women. But, if just again, looking at the pictures in those old newspapers of the Old West, there's quite a few pictures of women working in those offices.
Yeah, I think it's something that hasn't been written up, but even the first French, newspaper... But Canada's first newspaper, the Halifax Gazette, Bushnell's daughter Elizabeth was supposed to be an excellent typesetter. So that's right back in the 1700s.
And I know that, see, the, in particular, the weekly newspapers had to use women.
Why did they have to?
Well, in many cases, like this, suppose the owner has a daughter or two. He can't afford much help. The weekly newspapers made very little money.
So they didn't make much money. The situation that we were talking about in the Post.
The case that the daughter had, who would come in and give a hand. They had a son too if he had him.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had a son and a daughter, probably they both used to do some work on the newspaper.